Well, welcome. This is the Flint First Baptist Church Adult Bible Study. And today we are in Romans chapter 14. And we'll be doing verses 1 through 12. If you do have the literature, you can follow along with that. I'm using the New International Version, so it won't match up word for word, but it will be very close. And we will be starting with verse 1, chapter 14. And that verse, Paul tells Christians, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. So as Paul is writing to this church in Rome, he is wanting them to first of all accept those whose faith is weak. Well, first thing we need to kind of get an idea of what is meant by faith that is weak. Now, a weak faith is one who is not trusting in God, is not as secure in God as a Christian whose faith is stronger. One thing I've noticed over the years, a person whose faith is weak tends to have the attitude of, what is the least I can do? What's the least I can give to God? What's the least amount of time I should pray? What's the least amount of Bible reading I should be doing? What's the least amount of fellowship? The least amount of service? Any of that's a sign of faith that's weak. When our attitude is, what can I get done for God? In prayer, in Bible study, in fellowship, in service, in worship. That's a sign of a stronger faith. But basically, a weak faith is one that is not as committed, not as trusting to God. And he knows what he's saying. A person's faith is weak. They are still accepted within the Christian church. And then without passing judgment on disputable matters. Now, for a Christian, there are going to be certain issues that are just, they are what we call fundamental, foundational truths. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is a fundamental truth for Christians. That is something that we are not going to argue with someone about. If they are wanting to worship with us, they will be worshiping Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. They're saying, well, we'll worship, but you can't have Jesus Christ in your worship, or if you do, he's just going to be one of many gods. No. A fundamental issue. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. We don't work our way to heaven. We don't enlighten ourselves into heaven or whatever. It is through our trust in Jesus Christ. Things like that are foundational, fundamental things that we believe. But there are things that are going to come up that we are going to have disputes about. In other words, we can have some disagreements on. I mentioned I'm using the New International Version of the Bible. I've had people say you shouldn't use that version of the Bible. Some people, the only one is the King James Version. Well, that's a disputable matter. If a person wants to use King James, you're more power to them. I don't like teaching out of it because you have to spend a lot of time explaining the vocabulary and this type of thing. But if they wish to use it, all right. It's not for me to tell them don't. There are translations of the Bible that I'm not impressed with. Don't use the Jehovah's Witnesses. Kingdom Hall or Watchtower version of the Bible, because that has definitely purposely changed things, especially about Jesus Christ. But there are going to be other disputable issues and things that will come up as Christians are simply of fellowshipping and living their lives with each other. And Paul, in animals to be sacrificed at the temple to whatever particular god it was, well, the priests in that temple, after sacrificing the animal, would basically sell the meat to people. That was a money raiser for them. And some of the Christians were saying, okay, that meat that was offered to this false god in this temple, therefore we can't eat it. Other Christians were going, yeah, but God has provided it for us. We are thanking God for it. We're not concerned about that false god. So there's nothing wrong with this meat. It was becoming a big issue in that church. And that's why Paul's addressing it. And notice he doesn't really come down on either side. What he is saying is, there'll be those who eating that meat's an issue. All right, if it is an issue for them, they're not going to eat it. You don't get after them for that. There'll be those who have no problem eating that meat. For those of you who it is a problem, don't get after them for that. That isn't going to be the deal that God's going to be looking at. In fact, Jesus said, it isn't what goes into your mouth that corrupts you, it's what comes out of your mouth that shows corruption. He is telling them, don't use that as an issue to cause a division within the church. And the person who is really pushing that point is showing a weakness. Their faith is weak. They should be realizing this is not something that is a salvation issue. Therefore, if that person wants to eat the meat, let them. If that person refuses to eat that meat, let them. As he says in verse 4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Now also one thing we do need to be clear on, that showed up in verse 1 and now verse 4, is that word judgment. It gets thrown around rather easily. Christians will hear this a lot. If we tell somebody, well, such and such thing is wrong, you have no right to judge me, kind of an attitude. In fact, if you're a Christian and you've talked to very many people at all, you've undoubtedly had that brought up. Now, one of the things we need to be clear of, judgment, as it's talking about in the Bible, is when you're basically using your own opinion. If I say eating meat is wrong and people shouldn't do it, that's making a judgment. If we are telling someone what Scripture says, a husband cheating on his wife, that is wrong, you can't judge me? That's not me judging. That's not my opinion. The Bible makes it perfectly clear. A spouse is not supposed to cheat. That is God's rule. God's law, not my judgment. These foundational, fundamental, scriptural, biblical things are not our judgments. It's not my judgment that the way to heaven is through Christ. That's God's. God set that up, not me. So that's not my judgment. If I tell someone, you shouldn't eat meat, that's my judgment. We as Baptists, we do not do alcohol. We know the problems alcohol causes. The Bible says don't ever be under the effect of alcohol. Don't let it be controlling you. So he said by far the easiest way to avoid that is to avoid alcohol. There are people who will have a glass of wine with dinner. I can't tell them. The Bible forbids that. It doesn't. That is my judgment. They should not. Now, if they're getting under the influence of alcohol, I can tell them, you know, this isn't right. And that's not me judging them, that's God's word saying we shouldn't be under the influence of alcohol. So we do need to be careful to make sure that the stands that we are taking as Christians are what God says is right or wrong, not our own interpretation or our feeling, our judgment on an issue. And that's what was coming up here, was all this judging back and forth about meat sacrificed to idols, whether you've eaten or not. And so Paul is reminding them, we are all God's servant. As Christians, we are all God's servant. God will be judging us. So we are not going to have to basically worry about that part of it. We can give them what God's Word says, and we can present that as God's Word. We can give them our opinion and present it as our opinion. But it will be up to God as to what will be happening with that other person. To his own master, he stands or falls. We stand or fall before God, not before me or any other human being. So we need to make sure we are right with what God says. That's why it's important to know what the Bible says. The whole thing. Not just going by, well, I think this or that. And we will stand because God enables us to stand. And when we know something is right, we are to stand for it. We are to stand up against the world, believing in what the Scriptures tell us. And that isn't an easy thing to do. Because a lot of what the Bible says is wrong, the world wants to be right. And a lot of what the Bible says is right, the world wants to be wrong. Well, we don't go by the judgments of others. We go by what God says. And that's where we stand. Looking at verses 5 and 6. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who abstains does so to the Lord, and gives thanks to God. Another issue they had were on holy days, special days. For Jewish Christians, they still, for the most part, celebrated the Passover and some of the other holidays. And many of them were wanting the Gentiles to do that as well. The Gentiles were going, well, that doesn't really mean much to me. They would have days, though, that they would want to celebrate. And some people were saying, well, no, we really shouldn't have any real special celebrations. Every day should be a day of worshiping God and gathering together and fellowshipping and honoring God and serving God every day like every other day. Paul says each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. In other words, you have a special day. We tend to have Sunday as a special day. That's why we're here this morning. We should be fully convinced in our own mind that I want to have this day dedicated to God as a special day and make it that way. Other people, Saturday may be a special day and they worship on Saturday. All right? As long as they know that is what God wants them to be doing, that's what they should be doing. We have some special days like Christmas. Well, some people say, no, you wouldn't have any, that day didn't have anything to do with the birth of Christ. No, it was the winter solstice. And the pagans celebrated that because it was the end of the shortening of the days and the beginning of the days getting longer. And it was like, okay, good. You know, we are going to have eventually, you know, things getting better from this harsh winter. Christians said, we want to have a day, or some Christians did, we want to have a day to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So they kind of took over that day. Rather than celebrating it as the winter solstice, They said, no, we'll make this the celebration of Jesus' birthday. Some people objected, other people thought it was fine. They just needed to be basically saying, no, I want this day to be a special day for that reason. And if that is what it is in their heart, and they are right with God in that day as they are celebrating it, it's not for anyone else to say, well, no, no, that can't be right. There are some Christians who've never celebrated Christmas or Easter. They don't celebrate birthdays. They don't really celebrate anything. Okay, that's, once again, between them and God. We can't sit there and say they're wrong in not having any celebrations. They can't say others are right in having certain celebrations. But it needs to be something that we are knowing that we are right in God in doing that. And God is accepting that, yes, we will be different in our worship of Him, in how we will worship Him. The reason why we have these different denominations. But we're not just doing it because we do it. We're doing it because this is how I want to be worshiping God. And then he combines these two issues again. The special days and then the eating of meat. But as he is here, and actual just common sense, but scripture definitely tells us that's not true. None of us lives our life to himself alone. Anything that I do in my life is going to impact other people. It's definitely going to impact Becky. I mean, like right now, I'm kind of retiring from teaching at the school I've been teaching at. I've been teaching now for a total of 44 years, planning on retiring at least from that type of thing. What I'm going to be doing right now, I don't know exactly. Still need to have income, still have a kid at home. Still got things like that going on. So whatever I'm going to end up doing in this next stage of my life isn't just me, just for me. If it's just for me, I might just sit home. And in some ways, I've kind of enjoyed quarantine. In a few ways. But no, because what I do impacts my family. The way I'm going to live my life impacts this church family. I mean, if I suddenly announce, you know, I'm walking out of here, I'm leaving Becky and my family, and I'm going to go live with some other person, I think that would bother you guys. I hope it would. You'd probably be going, okay, if he's actually doing that, he's not teaching my Sunday school anymore. He's not going to be able to get in here anymore. You know, we're going to have Pastor Mike work him over pretty good. No, it would impact people. What we do in our life impacts others. This is the point God wants Paul to make. We don't live our life just for ourselves. How we live it is going to strengthen or weaken other Christians. Every single one of us is a witness for God. Every Christian is a witness for God. Either a good one or a bad one, but we're a witness for it. Now we should be good ones because we should be focusing on God. But if we get focused just on ourselves, we become a very poor witness for God. And none of us dies to himself alone. When we die, it's just not going to be me in heaven. Just me and God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You know, we're just there, four of us. No. Heaven's going to be crowds bigger than we can ever count. Worshiping God. But also, my death is going to have an impact on me. How I die. And it's not just for me. It's for others as well. As I've told people, being dead doesn't bother me. The idea of being in heaven, being with the Lord, I don't know what the details are. When I die, I'll be with Christ. Okay, that's good enough. No problem. I'd just sooner have a maybe peaceful death. But I don't know how God's going to take me home, what it's actually going to be. But the way I die, I hope will have an impact on people in them being able to see the Lord in that. Verse 8, if we live, we live to the Lord. No, he's our reason. I get up in the morning because the Lord has something for me to do. And that, of course, includes praying, includes scripture reading, but it also includes service to Him in however we are to serve Him. And all of us have a different service for the Lord. Some people's service to the Lord right now is in a kind of a strange situation with what's going on. Mary's service to the Lord with the hospitality has been, you know, getting food to people and this type of thing. Well, that's a little hard right now. But we are still doing things and reaching out, strengthening one another, helping one another, regardless of the circumstances that we're in. The day is still the Lord's. And regardless of what's going on, we still serve Him. We have Christians in parts of the world where, yeah, you go up to someone and say, can I talk to you about Jesus? And they beat you to death. They'd be praised for it. It's dangerous to be a Christian. But it's amazing how they serve the Lord. And it's amazing how God lets word of that get out enough to strengthen us and for us to know to pray for them. But this is a very important verse here. If we live, if we're still alive, those of us in this room still are, we live to the Lord. That should kind of be our motto as a Christian. I live to the Lord. The world can be whatever the world is going to be. We focus on the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So I said, I'm not afraid of being dead. I'm going to be with the Lord. But there's people there terrified to die. And that's really very, very sad. Because it shows they have no trust in God. They have no faith in Christ. I'm not sitting there saying, oh yeah, I don't want to be dead. No. I'm alive. I've still got something for me to be doing. Still has a reason for me to be here. But no, if I die, it's for the Lord. And as he says at the end of verse 8, so, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We are His. And that's actually in the concept that we are His slave. We are His property. But that's a very good thing to be. Because since we belong to Him, He is always there for us. He is never neglecting us, never ignoring us. Things Pastor Mike was talking about in the message. The why is all of this happening? We're always wanting and questioning God about. Sometimes it simply boils down to, trust me, what God's telling us. It simply boils down to, how's your faith? I know a lot of times I'll think, oh yeah, I'm doing good in my faith. I'm pretty strong in the faith, yeah, yeah. And God will bring something up, and it'll go, okay, Lord, thank you. Yeah, I'm nowhere near like what I think I should be. Nowhere near what I should be with God. God will let those things happen to Christians as little wake-up calls to us. Where are you exactly with me? God is wanting us to figure out, to find out. And He'll let things happen in our life and we realize, I really haven't been trusting in Him like I should. But we can trust Him. That's a major part of our witness to other people. It's how we have trusted in God, and God has shown us that that trust is well placed. And that's because we belong to Him. This is a tremendous verse of reassurance. We belong to God. One spot Scripture tells us that we are with Christ in God. Nothing better than that. In verse 9, for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Christ is our Lord. When we say we belong to Him, that means He is our Lord, whether we're alive, whether we're dead, physically alive, physically dead, He is our Lord. The Lord is the one in charge. The Lord is the one in control. The Lord is the one you answer to. So whatever we're doing in our life, however we're living it, in these examples He's given of how what we're eating or what days we're having is special, however we're living our life, are we making Him Lord? Is He the one in charge? Is He making the decisions for us? Are we going to Him for what we need to be doing in our life? That's making Him Lord. And that's the reason Christ went through all that He did. The reason He went through the crucifixion. He went through the separation from the Father. The reason He was resurrected was to be our Lord. And He is the Lord, as we're going to see in just a minute, in the coming verse. In verse 10, you then, it's like Paul is just literally pointing at the different Christians. You then, why do you judge over your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand for God's judgment seat. Paul is telling us, don't be putting your opinions, your feelings on other people as God's rule. You can give your opinion, you can give your judgments, your ideas, make sure it's that way. In my opinion, you should. That is different from Scripture tells us we should. And we need to make sure we're clear in our own mind what's our feelings and what's God's word. And so we're not going to judge one another. We're not going to use our opinions, our feelings on one another. And we're certainly not going to be going, oh, well, you eat meat, well, you're obviously an immoral person. Kind of an attitude. We're going to go with God's word. We will all stand before God's judgment seat. God is the judge. When God gives His opinion, His ideas, well, they're perfect and perfectly right. So we stand before God and He judges us. It is the proper judgment. So we need to be not so concerned about necessarily what other people are doing, whether we think it's right or not, but whether we are walking right with God. In verse 11, it is written, and here he quotes Isaiah, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. Everyone will be before a judgment of God. Now some will be there believing on Him as Savior and accepting Him, loving Him, those who have done it within this life. Others They're there before God and they're mad and angry at him and they're having to bow because he's Almighty God. But they're still not trusting and believing in him, and their ultimate judgment is God's wrath, which is what we call hell. All of us will face the judgment. We need to make sure we are facing the judgment as children of the Lord who have sought to follow Christ. Not live our own life, our own way, doing what we want because that's what we like, but doing what Christ would have us to do. As he says in verse 12, the last verse we're looking at. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Now hopefully for those of us, as we might ponder that, we're thinking, okay, I give an account of my life. We can realize we've done an awful lot in our life of what God has wanted us to do. But we also realize we have failed the Lord. But when we have failed the Lord, we have gone to him for forgiveness. We have gone to him to get right with him. And therefore, when that account is given, those things that God has forgiven us for aren't even brought up. God has cast them away. That's why the forgiveness of sin is so important. And those who do not go to Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that sin remains on their record. How many sins does it take to keep you out of heaven? If you want to get technical. One. Sin is an imperfection. Sin is anti-God. Heaven is perfection. Anybody with any sin at all. And of course, nobody has ever committed only one. That's enough for you not to be in heaven. This idea, well, I'll do more good than bad. But the bad is still there. That's the problem. And that's not allowed in heaven. It doesn't exist in the presence of God. So when we give an account of ourselves to God, we need to have Jesus Christ right there telling us, I'm with you, I'm here, God is there, Jesus is saying, this is my child, I have forgiven. His account is good. His account is on me. His account is my child. That is what we have to have when we stand in the judgment, before the judgment seat of God. Jesus Christ saying, this is one of mine. Otherwise, we are doomed and we face that wrath of God. So we need to make sure we are not living a life of our own judgments, our own opinions, our own ideas, judging other people on what we think is right and what we think is wrong. We need to make sure we are living for the Lord. We need to make sure we are one of His. And as we depend more and more on Christ, the stronger our faith is. And we are no longer a weak one in faith. We are strong, but because we are leaning more. That is where we will end. Thank you very much.